Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
I would run from Mayo is what I would do if I were the Patriots.
They might. Okay, so how much stock should we put in Breer saying that? Breer says, I think he might have talked himself onto the hot seat.
It's a little bedardish, right? Like last week.
He might have talked himself onto the hot seat. How much stock are we putting into that? Is that informed or is that just, hey, I'm doing a live talk show and, you know, I'm speaking in loose terms?
I think it might be more of that, but he usually watches himself. He's not exactly just firebombing stuff. Like, I think he's heard from certain people. Maybe he didn't think it was quite as safe as, you know, Justina Anderson or Rossini, which again was pregame. And I don't think that you could just say, hey, these four games don't mean anything. It's a quarter of the season. And all these other examples of coaches in bad years usually were coaching better and had some momentum going into the next season. This seems very much like the opposite. So if you have a game like yesterday, I think you can change how you were feeling, like during the bye week, for example. And then what if it looks even worse against the Bills, which is a possibility, and the Chargers and the Bills again? You're going to ignore those games? Like, hey, we said he was safe in week 13, so it doesn't matter that the wheels just fell off.
The Bills just hung 48 on Detroit.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to you?
Whatever they want. Honestly, it's one of those things where it's kind of up to them.
So think about it that way.
And they're in control.
And now Mahomes is out for the Chiefs, like not to go down this road, but like, or could be out for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so it's like now Buffalo's back in the mix for that number one seed.
They smell it.
They're out for blood.
Yep.
And if they're putting up 48 on Detroit, what are they going to do to you and how's that going to look? And we know the Crafts are pissed. Now,
but
they might not be pissed with Mayo. They might be pissed with Alex Van Pelt and the terrible play calling. They got caught yesterday on the broadcast. And
does it look like Mayo's getting better?
No.
No. Okay. Very clearly, no. Did it look like he had his team prepared after a bye week?
No. And that's something we spent a lot of time talking about, how they don't have to win. None of us thought they were going to win. None of us said they had
unlikely
to win this game.
Yeah.
But we're like, are they buttoned up?
No.
We literally said this. Are you going to take bad penalties on the opening drive? Yes. Miss kick on
can
the opening
do
drive? Yes. It looked like they worked on nothing, learned nothing, got worse on the
and
bye
then
week.
Throw
that's a
your
reflection
coordinator
of the coach
under the bus. And I think Breer brings up a fantastic point about, all right, it just took them 12, 13 interviews to land Alex Van Pelt last year, okay? A lot of the other reporting out there was offensive coordinators that did interview with the team were like, this does not
sound
good.
Like
that was before Mayo coached a single game, and before Mayo went 3-14 likely in his first year, and before they knew that Mayo would throw them under the bus in postgame. So the next guy, unless it's somebody that has zero experience, like if you want to go down that route, it's just like, I just need this job. What are they going to say? All right, yes, I get to work with Drake May, but the last guy got to work with Drake May for a year, got fired, and his head coach is like, you know, poking at him throughout the year. So it's not the best spot for an offensive coordinator, and it was highlighted yesterday in the postgame with Mayo.
No, it's true, because I've said before, boy, I think a lot of people would jump at the opportunity to work with Drake May.
But you also have to work with Gerard Mayo.
Right. If you were the head coach, maybe you'd jump at the opportunity. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you have to work for Mayo, and then every game, there's a chance that he's going to throw you under the bus and shove you, you know, in front of a moving train. Yeah, no thanks. It's a good point. So as tantalizing as May is, and we haven't talked a lot about Drake May yet, I think he was good yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't
that
stand
interception
out
was insane. That was insanity.
You blame him for that one?
I don't put that one on Drake May. Kayshon Booty had the ball in his hands and was like, not good enough. Let me shovel past this to the defender.
Drake May now has, by the way, I read this note before the game yesterday. He's now thrown a pick in six consecutive games, which is the longest streak for a Patriots quarterback since Drew Bledsoe threw a pick in six straight games in 99. The last two interceptions have been handed to the defense by Hunter Henry.
Literally handed.
A week ago. Yeah. And the one yesterday was insane how bad it was.
And think about that. So he was 19 of 23 passing, and that's one of the incompletions, and that is the interception. Like, it is kind of fitting, because you're like, oh, yeah, the receivers are bad. Like, well, how bad can they be? I don't know. They're giving the other team interceptions.
They are
like,
gift,
handing it to them.
It's in the spirit of the holiday season, they are gift-wrapping interceptions to the defense.
And his touchdown that he threw was pretty sweet. He ran one in. I think it's clear, week in and week out, how Drake May is doing everything he can offensively, but there's nobody else. And Christian Gonzalez is doing everything he can defensively,
he was
but
great.
There's nobody else.
Not even because he's coming on the show. He was fantastic yesterday.
He's awesome.
Meaning Gonzalo. I mean, May was, I think, fine. I don't think he stood out, like, in any great way, but I think he was good.
It's to the level where teams shouldn't even throw, wherever he is, throw somewhere else. You have an advantage somewhere else.
I think it was Bedard. It was one of the beat writers yesterday tweeted in game that to start the game, Gonzalez was keeping them in the game single-handedly by breaking up plays to Marvin Harrison. So no, he was phenomenal yesterday. May was good. Everybody else stinks, and that includes the head coach. And you're right. If you're an offensive coordinator and you get to work with Drake May, but you have to work for Jerod
Mayo.
What's
the catch? It's like, well, how much time do you have?
Who's taking that gig? 617-779-7937. We'll get more into, I think, disagreement between Robert and Jonathan. They were aligned on their criticism of Alex Van Pelt yesterday.
They seem to be in lockstep on that.
Are they aligned on Mayo? We'll get to that coming up. Mayo's job security, along with the final three games and how ugly it can get. Let's start it off here with Barry in New Bedford. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys, quickly, that was not Booty's fault. That was the center's fault when he whiffed on the block, and Drake May had to kind of wing it, and Booty just couldn't catch it. It was thrown behind him.
It was Booty's fault. Jerod He's an NFL wide receiver. I mean, it hit him in the hands.
You can drop the ball, Barry. You don't have to turn around
to throw it
and
to the
gift wrap it to the defender. Yeah.
Watch the center whiff on that block. It's
okay,
so
I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah.
Quickly on Mayo, what you're seeing here, he's not a head coach. What you're seeing is some guy from human resources ratting people out. This week it's Van Pelt. Next week it's going to be what, Covington, a position coach?
Perhaps.
I mean, literally, it's like I'm watching Survivor here, and this guy's just selling people out left and right just to maintain his job.
That's true.
It is. I'm sorry, Barry.
New season of the Traitors, January.
Oh, nice.
Mayo would be good.
Mayo might need a job.
Mayo could go on that show. Former New England Patriots head coach Jerod Mayo is in here. Throwing everybody under the bus from Real Housewives.
It'd be a good strategy.
He'd be good.
That'd be a good way to do it.
It is true. He is turning the attention. And, you know, the question is, will that be enough to fool Robert Kraft into being like, you know what, Jerod, it is everybody else's fault. That's the one thing Jerod has going for him. Maybe Robert does take his side. And it's like, all right, we're not as committed to Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington. Maybe we move on from these guys, but I don't know if that's going to be enough.
No, me either. Let me get since we were talking about Kayshon Booty, let me get his comments after the game. These were good.
Oh, about the interception?
Yeah, for a guy who about a month ago I was like, you know what?
I'll take a hike.
I think I want him on this team.
No,
I think he's got a role
don't.
On the team. Kayshon Booty after the game. This is also criticism of Alex Van Pelt. We knew they were going to play man the whole game, but I feel like it's disrespectful when they go man in the first quarter.
Why?
Because they think they can cover you straight up, I guess.
They can.
He said, I feel like we need to be better at attacking that instead of being shy about it. So it's disrespectful to play man-to-man on Kayshon Booty.
Yep.
And they need to be more aggressive in attacking that. That, again, is a criticism of Alex Van Pelt.
Wow.
Let's go to Marcus in Roxbury. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I wanted to say, I think we have one star on that football team, and I think it's our corner. I think it's Gonzalez. I hear a lot about just how Drake May is, you know, this guy and all of that. I really don't see no star potential in him. I truly think that Jaden Daniels and Caleb are playing a lot better than him. He has not won a game yet this year, and every week we keep giving him excuses.
Okay, well he beat Caleb Williams. Well, Marcus, he has two wins this year technically.
Yeah.
One, he gets credited for the Jets. We don't give that to him. He did beat the Bears, but in Marcus's defense, I think a lot of quarterbacks could have beat the Bears that way.
Oh, no doubt.
That day, the way the defense was playing. Do yourself a favor and watch Caleb Williams tonight.
And
call back tomorrow and tell me you'll take Caleb Williams.
I thought Caleb Williams
over
was going to be great. He hasn't been to this point. You cannot argue that this year Caleb Williams better than Drake May. Jaden Daniels, sure. Jaden Daniels got off to a great start. Patriots also didn't even start Drake May right away, which shows you how dumb they are once again.
Jaden Daniels also 3 years older than Drake May.
Yeah.
True. I think he's been great. Like, I disagree with the caller. I don't think anybody really outside of maybe Josh Allen, Lamar, like these like top MVP candidates could get a whole lot more out of a team that can't block, a team that can't catch, and the play calling suspect. Like, what rookie quarterback, second year quarterback, third year quarterback is going to overcome that and look better than what he's looked?
Yeah. If you want to tell me you'll take Jaden Daniels over Drake May.
Okay.
Agree to disagree. I don't think that's crazy. I think the way they're playing right now, it's crazy to take Caleb Williams over Drake May. And I disagree. He doesn't have star power. Look at the little touchdown flick he had to Pop Douglas yesterday.
That was pretty slick.
Look at some of the plays he's made in these games. So, look, to say he hasn't won, I think, is fair. He really hasn't won games.
He has not.
And until the last 2 weeks, I thought turnovers were fair to criticize him for. He hasn't fumbled. both of the picks have been hand-delivered to the defense. So I don't even think that one's fair anymore. The winning is fair, but I think there's an easy explanation for it. He has nothing. He doesn't have coaching.
Nothing.
He doesn't have talent.
He
doesn't have a center who can snap the ball.
No.
Vedarian Lowe hasn't touched anybody trying to block the last couple of weeks.
Missed a lot of guys.
Guys can't catch, and when they drop the ball, they don't just drop it to the ground. They hand it to the defense. So he has nothing around him. If that's excuse-making, then fine, that's excuse-making, but I do think that's reality.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. More on Jerod Mayo and his job security. Did Jonathan and Robert agree on Jerod Mayo and his future? Let's get into that with all your feedback next.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
What do you think? Last Christmas in New England for Jerod Mayo?
Possible.
Very possible.
Very possible.
In play.
Yeah. That was not a good performance yesterday.
No, and
one of the worst.
It sounds
like not the worst.
Oh, it's down there.
If you add it all up, post game and the game itself, the outcome,
package.
The total package, Lex Luger,
the full Mayo,
the full Mayo. We got the full Mayo was on display yesterday in Arizona. So three more weeks to clean it up, and it does not seem likely that that'll happen.
New. So
I like Drake May talking about how big he is.
Well, I was gonna say Drake May seems to agree with Jerod Mayo.
Of the week. Drake May, Hoss of the Week.
Garrett Crochet got our first Hoss of the Week.
Yep,
I think Drake May is
Drake May might
squarely in the mix. But he seems to agree with Jerod Mayo. Like, yeah, big guy. You can use me down
here.
Yeah,
6'5", hard to stop a guy getting 1 yard. He says, I'm heavier than people think.
Yeah?
Same. Now, people probably are pretty right on how heavy I am.
Only for 30 seconds at a time. But when it comes to May, do you think there is an organizational disconnect on when to use him? Like, in other words, he's like, yeah, you can sneak me. I'm a big guy. Like, Ramondre's good down there, too. Although that ignores that they gave the ball to Gibson on third down, which pisses me off the more I think about it.
Yeah.
It was Stevenson on fourth down. And
yeah, I don't know why they don't run May a little bit
but
more.
Maybe it's a medical decision or something like that. You know, maybe after he got his concussion, they're like, look, he's the franchise. We're not going to do it. I don't.
That's also going back to playing scared.
Yes,
but then
sure.
But that feels like a Mayo thing, and yet Mayo's the one being like, I don't know why we didn't do it. So it's like, I'm not sure, because if anybody was going to say no.
If May wants to do it and Mayo wants to do it.
Why doesn't Van Pelt? I don't know.
I mean, why don't they do it?
I don't know.
And maybe it's just because they're poorly coached and a bad organization, very possible. I just wonder if there is some sort of organizational guardrail on May and those designed runs or QB sneaks.
Yeah, it's possible. And then you see the guy that he was compared to coming out of the draft, which was Josh Allen. First two touchdowns for the Bills yesterday. Just touchdown run, Josh Allen.
Plowing his way into the end zone.
Yeah. And, like, you don't have to do it all the time. It's funny, the quarterback on the other side also doesn't run enough. And they're talking about that on the broadcast a lot. Kyler Murray, who's half the size of Drake May, who can run, but he doesn't run late in the year either.
Nope.
And he chooses not to do it. But no, Drake May definitely should have ran one of those times. And we'll see, because they did go for a couple of fourth downs yesterday where 3-4 weeks ago maybe they don't. And so maybe now the Drake May thing, maybe that will be part of the playbook
forward. How many did they go for yesterday? They picked up one, didn't they? The other one, Stevenson ran somebody over, and then the other one is when they got stuffed. Was it only those two?
Was it just those two? But it was like, I remember it was noteworthy.
They were one for two, and I liked both. I don't love the play calling down there, and it didn't work, but I have zero problem with them going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
They should have gone for it on fourth down.
The broadcast hated the play call on the first one, too, that like weird sweep.
That was a weird thing. They got away with it, and they picked it up.
Oh, the one they got was
Stevenson. The one they got was like, really?
Yeah.
That was the best thing he had?
So it was the full Mayo, as we said
full
yesterday.
Mayo.
Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Monday. A lot of reporting yesterday morning. Diana Rossini, Josina Anderson, Mayo's good. And then he sticks his foot in his mouth after the game. Jonathan and Robert are caught on television pissed.
Jonathan's taking notes.
At the play calling. Jonathan's taking notes. Now, that feels like more of a criticism of Van Pelt, but that's their temperament
and their dissatisfaction. I don't think he was taking notes going into the game just on the offense.
Good point.
I think it's the whole thing.
So Giardi wrote about this late last week, that there might even be disagreement between Robert and Jonathan on Jerod Mayo. And here's what he said.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
A reminder of what I wrote about last week. While Robert might have initially been the one making calls around the league, I'm told Jonathan has been the driving force since then. And if you'll recall, there's been some different reporting on the purpose of those calls. The initial conversation centered on how best to support the quarterback. Still, that tidbit has sprouted in several different directions regarding the coordinators, the GM, Elliott Wolf, and depending on how this season plays out, Mayo himself. So it started out as, how do we support the quarterback? Now they're asking about everybody, and it's Jonathan making the calls, according to Giardi.
Well, I mean, the whole timeline of it is kind of strange. So remember when Jerod Mayo was introduced as the new head coach of the Patriots? Was Jonathan Kraft there?
Nope.
No.
No, no, no. He was
putting out some sort of fire like somewhere else.
They had an issue at Dunder Mifflin. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Patriots are not the only thing that they're in charge of, obviously. And no. It's certainly not the most important or anything like that. He's not in every game. He's not in Arizona. He's not in every single game.
Nope.
But he wasn't there. Also, if you hear your dad compare the hire of the head coach to when he proposed to your mom, isn't that like a weird thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that like an odd thing?
Yes.
You're going to put them on the same level? So there's zero chance in hell that they both like Gerard Mayo the same.
No.
Right? Like if Jonathan Kraft was solely in charge, I'm not sure Gerard Mayo was ever even hired.
Jonathan,
let alone where he survived the second year.
Jonathan let you know by not showing up he never agreed with the hire.
Yeah.
And so it's not his call to make the firing, but he can influence his father. And
I would say he's the best voice. I think
say, hey, Robert, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. I know what you said, and I know you thought highly of him, and I know Jonathan has the potential to sway Robert. Yeah,
probably the only one, because I don't think Elliot Wolf could sit down and be like, hey, maybe another coach. I think Robert would be like, you're barely hanging on to your job as it is. I don't need your input now on this. But Jonathan might be the one guy that says, hey, we got to really think about this. Like, how are we going to turn around? Like, do we think he's going to be the guy that turns this around, or do we need to start that process over right now?
So there's that dynamic at play as well. 617-779-7937. Heisen is waiting very patiently. Go ahead, Heisen.
Hey, Jones and Keith. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Yeah.
Just wanted to talk about Booty real quick. Listen, Jones, I'm with you. I was giving Booty the benefit of the doubt from last year. It looks like he was really coming on this year. But after yesterday, the comments he made about Drake, saying how Drake could have laid it on him. Drake's playing it on him all year, and he's been dropping it. And the one time that he makes a mistake and he calls the interception for Drake, he just turns on him. And I just feel bad for Drake. Drake always standing up. He's always taking accountability. He's sticking up for his guy. He's taking all the blame. And nobody else in the organization does it.
So,
from the top down with the ownership all the way down to the water boys. And I just feel bad for Drake.
No, so it's a good point. I don't know that I feel bad for him per se, but
I kind of do. I usually don't feel bad for anybody, but like
Drake May is taking accountability for all these picks. And then you read me this other comment from Booty that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, so Mark
that Heisen was referencing.
Yeah, Mark Daniels had it. I guess they were asking him about that interception. And Kayshawn Booty said, quote, I'll just say, I know it's a play I've got to make, but it's kind of hard when you're running full speed in one direction. The ball's kind of low.
Okay, so I take it back.
That's a good point. You're not an NFL wide receiver.
I was
Sorry,
wrong
the ball
about
in the hands in stride every single time.
I was wrong. You can cut him.
See you later, dude.
He now has the KJ Osborne. He's in KJ Osborne territory. Yeah. Like, cut you tomorrow. I won't miss you.
Goodbye.
I liked what you were putting on tape about a month ago. Since then, not so much.
I don't think you really did. I think just based on who else was out there, people started to maybe think that he was good.
Fair.
It's like some sort of like Stockholm syndrome. Like, you see these Patriots receivers and you're like, well, he's pretty good. It's like, no. He's pretty good for this group.
Right.
He's not NFL good.
He's still terrible.
Right.
But he's pretty good for this group. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up all day long on a Patriots Monday. It's Jones and Keefe. We're talking about the Pats' disappointing, ugly, frustrating, gross loss to the Cardinals yesterday. 30-17. Gerard Mayo, his job security. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is apparently so desperate.
How desperate is he?
He is placing phone calls to the New York Jets to get back into the NFL before taking the job at UNC. We'll get to that with all your Patriots phone calls next.